Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at httpvoicerepublic.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, how's it going, YouTube? I'm going to do y'all an Alan Jackson song. It's called Sissy Song, and I want to send it out to Kirsten. So here we go.
Why did she have to go so young? I just don't know why things happen half the time without reason, without a rhyme. Love, you sweet young woman, daughter, wife, and mother. It makes no sense to me. I just have to believe she flew up to heaven on the wings of angels by the clouds and stars and paths where no one sees. And she walks with Jesus and her loved ones waiting. And I know she'd smile and say, don't worry about me. One she left behind, just trying to survive and understand why, feeling so lost inside, anger shot straight at God, then asking for his love, empty with disbelief, just hoping that maybe she flew up to heaven on the wings of angels by the clouds and stars and paths where no one sees. And she walks with Jesus and her loved ones waiting. And I know she'd smile and say, don't worry about me.
It's hard.
Okay, I just realized that my mic was on mute. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of the Back to Us show. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know that usually the Back to Us show is on the first Sunday of every month, and this is actually the second Sunday. The artist that you heard at the beginning of the show is a phenomenal artist who has given us the opportunity to use some of his covers. And his name is Mitch Rossell, and you'll hear some more from him at the end of the show. So, again, thank you, Mitch, for giving us your music to use today. And let's see. So let me tell you a little bit about how we ended up on the second Sunday instead of the first Sunday. So everyone knows that we had snowpocalypse last week here in Atlanta. And Dr. Renee Sunday and I had been talking probably for well over a month about her doing the show with me on the first Sunday in February. And at the last minute, we had the snowstorm, and then Dr. Sunday got invited to speak at a conference in D.C., and it was just, our schedules just were not coming together. So, and I've learned enough about doing this industry to know that when stuff doesn't come together, that's because you need to do it at either a different time or you need to leave it alone. So I said to Dr. Sunday, I said, you know, I am not going to leave the show alone because I feel that it's so important. And so if you would be willing to adjust your schedule just a little bit, I will do a special show next Sunday. And she said, awesome. So we decided to go with the show on this Sunday. And when I scheduled the show for this Sunday, I was completely unaware that today would have been Carrie's 32nd birthday. And those of you who've been following me know that I have been very involved with a social media campaign called Carrie's Law. And that is to get a petition going so that no one has to ever dial 9 and then 911. And, you know, so it just, once I realized that, I was like, okay, now it fits why nothing came together last week. Because Carrie's family needs this today, and that's why we're here. So Wait, I think I hear my doorbell. It is my doorbell. Let me see who's there.
Hi.
Hi. Lonnie, what are you doing at the door?
Come on in.
Guys, this is Carrie's sister, Lonnie, and Lonnie is actually going to be joining us today as a guest co-host on the Back to Us show. Welcome, Lonnie.
Thank you so much. How are you doing, Annie?
I'm good. Sit down. Don't put your feet on the furniture. Keep your feet off the furniture. Put your feet on the floor, girl. All right, so Lonnie, give us an update on the change.org petition and kind of give us an overall update on everything, because we've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So update us.
Okay. Well, let's start with change.org, since you mentioned that. So right before we got on the call, I looked at change.org, and we are currently at 431,246 signatures. So we have made huge strides, and we are going, you know, so quickly from where we started, because I believe it's been about a month and a half since we first started it. So it's amazing where it is right now. We now have three hotels that we know of. There may be more, but ones that have actually reached out to us. Three hotels that now have their systems changed. So you can dial 9 to get out, or you can dial straight to 911. There's two in Longview, Texas, and one in Lubbock, Texas. The Arbor Inn in Lubbock, and Staybridge, and La Quinta in Longview, they've all changed their systems now because of Carrie's Law, specifically because of it. They stated that they do not want anything like this to happen in their hotel, so they've changed it, which is amazing. That's great for us. Also, there is a new hotel task force, and I was trying to find the abbreviations. I'm sure you probably know what I'm talking about, but they put together a group that are actually trying to research and find out better ways for the hotels, probably the cost, you know, for them coming up with better ways to be able to get their phone systems to work directly with 911. But they started it because of Carrie's Law. They got together and made this task force, which is cool. And also Ajit Pai, he's the FCC commissioner. He's one of them. He reached out to my dad and said he was completely on board. He wrote a letter to the FCC saying, you know, we are on board with this. We are completely behind and stand for Carrie's Law. So he is dedicated to changing it. He has wrote, I believe it was 10 of the top hotel chains in the nation, the chains, and wrote them a letter asking them, you know, what their current phone systems are. Like, how do you dial out for 911? Do you have to be directed to your hotel worker in the front? You know, are they trained if there is an emergency situation? You know, all of those variables, and ask them to respond by February 14th or 15th. So we're coming up on that date here to see what all their responses are, to see how and what it's going to take for them to be able to get it changed, and if FCC is going to regulate it. So that's something that's huge, because we may not need our senators, which we've been trying to, you know, get Louis Gohmert, who is our senator. We may not need him. We may just can get it done by FCC, which would be great because it's already in the works. So, but that's a lot of what is going on right now. I know we also have the No 9 Needed Facebook page. My dad just started that, I believe, today. So I don't know much about it. I don't know what his idea with it is. I think it's more about just getting people to, you know, change their Facebook page and awareness for it. But we also have the Change It for Carrie's Law Facebook page. That is for people to come to the page, look at updates, see things that we post, stand behind the Carrie's Law. And then we also have the Twitter page, which is the one that I run. And I'll tell you the Twitter name, so if anybody would like to follow it, it's at 911 underscore Carrie's Law. And we post, you know, pictures and new updates, and we are just trying to get as many people as possible. So that's about where we are right now. I don't know if I've missed anything. There's so much going on, and it's happening so quickly. So, but I think that's where we are right now.
And we also have the Tumblr page. Don't forget the Tumblr page that Laura runs.
Right. We have that as well. And I'm still trying to get used to how that thing works, so.
Yeah, I think we all are getting used to Tumblr.
I know.
All right. Well, guys, I asked Lonnie to join me for this very special show as a guest co-host because, as you know, Lonnie's been on the air with me, what, 3 times now? And so I figured, I was like, you know, Lonnie, you got this now. So she's going to co-host with me today as we talk about a topic that is very near and dear to both of us, and it's on living after loss. Actually, Sharon and I had selected this topic in our topic lineup 7-8 months ago, and the original focus is we were going to talk about our own personal losses. And over the past few months, I mean, I've just had so many friends who have lost lives in my Facebook community and close friendships, you know, and really people just simply don't know what to say when, you know, they encounter something like this. You know, it's that I call it the awkward pink elephant silent moment, you know, where people want to be comforting, they want to be supportive, they want to be loving, they want to be encouraging, but they just simply don't know how to be that. And, you know, it's like I tell people, you know, sometimes hurting people hurt other people, and hurting people are sometimes simply frustrated because, you know, when you lose someone so close to you, you're trying to adjust to your new normal. And, you know, you don't wake up the same, no matter how much you think you are or you will or you do or you can, you're not the same. And, you know, that's hard for people to kind of understand and to support you through that. So, guys, you know me. I'm all about bringing in the professionals to help us with things like this because I'm good at a lot of things, but grief counseling and navigating through grief, even though I've had my own grief in burying my daughter, I'm not a grief counselor. So wait, Lonnie, I think we've got someone at the door. Lonnie, can you slide your chair back a little bit so that we can see who's at the door? Oh, okay. It's Dr. Sunday. Hello, Dr. Sunday, come on in.
Hi,
so, guys,
I have brought on
the grief counseling expert, Dr. Renee Sunday. Welcome to the Back to Us show.
Thank you so much. This is an awesome opportunity. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being flexible with your schedule because, guys, not only is Dr. Sunday, does she do the grief counseling work, she's also an anesthesiologist. So, you know, when she's not doing grief counseling, she's helping people feel comfortable as they are going through anesthesia, which is a scary experience in itself. So let me tell you all a little bit about Dr. Renee Sunday. She's actually the owner of Sunday Publishing Company. She's a radio host for Sunday Inspirations on Centertainment Radio, and she is a critically acclaimed author of the widely read book on grief. And actually, that grief book is going to be considered for some of the college courses on grief counseling. So we are very fortunate today to have Dr. Sunday with us. Yay! As we, you know, as we sit down and we talk about some very practical ways on how to support and how to get through the grief process. So welcome. And with that said, we're just going to dive right in here. So Dr. Sunday, I have to ask, what was your motivation for writing a book about grief and loss?
Well, first of all, it actually was a testimony. I went through it. My brother, William Sunday Jr., we call him Junior, he passed away April 2011 from ruptured abdominal aneurysm. And what that is, it's the major vessel in our body that actually dispersed blood throughout our body. And he actually had a hole in it from, you know, stress and high blood pressure that wasn't treated properly. But he actually, he made it to the operating room. But when he came to the intensive care unit, he was awake enough that when I arrived, he squeezed my hand and, you know, he went on to heaven. You know, you, of course, you don't know exactly when that happened, but he actually didn't survive that difficult surgery. And so my family, we went through that process. We went through the grieving process. Our Christian foundation kept us from not going crazy, you know, if you will. But you still have to go through the process. And I wanted to enlighten people, encourage people, because I came across so many people that thought they shouldn't go through the grieving process or they got stuck in the grieving process. And I wanted to help and encourage other people, you know, of course it's okay to go through the grieving process. And two, everybody experiences grief differently. And the last thing, that don't get stuck. Be tools that you can actually use to move forward in the process.
Now, you mentioned the grieving process, and I've read over and over again that there are five stages of grief. So for our listeners who may just be tuning in, what are those five stages of grief, Dr. Sunday?
Yes, you know, our wonderful world of Google, we can Google them, but, you know, the basics is five, but some people have extended it to seven, even nine different steps. But as you say, the main components are the five steps, which actually encompass, and they separate them into the different seven or nine. But the first one is denial and isolation. I can use myself as an example. When I found out about it, I said, no, not my brother, you know, because, you know, I just saw him maybe a week before. He was doing fine, and he was younger than me. I mean, we're talking 6 years younger, and I'm like, well, okay, why that wasn't me, you know, because he hasn't really experienced his life. And this is normal to think this. I mean, you deny it. You don't know what to say, what to do. You don't. It's just a shock. I guess that's the main thing to realize. And then when you go to the second stage, you're angry. You just don't know reality. You want to just want someone to pinch you or throw water on you to wake up. So you're just angry at the world. You ask the universe why. You ask God why. You want to know, okay, well, I'm just angry at everybody that this is happening. And then that's a point that you have to really watch out for your family when they're angry, because, of course, you don't want them to do anything to hurt themselves or hurt somebody else. And that's also when it's involving with kids, because kids, they respond differently, so you have to be there for support for them. Now when we go to bargaining, we bargain. We want to say, okay, you know, I don't believe what the doctor said. Let me go see. I want to see all the records. I've heard patients say, but you really feel helpless. You don't know. You don't want to eat. You don't want to drink. You don't want to do anything. You just feel helpless, and you're vulnerable. Now, through my research, I actually have found out you have to be careful with your elderly family members and friends, because this is when, if someone comes up selling anything, let's say something crazy like popsicles at your door, something wild like that, you would be vulnerable to believe whatever they say, and you may invest in something or buy something that you really don't need or something that is not a good buy. So you have to be really careful at that stage when you're actually bargaining, because you're very vulnerable to different things. And then the fifth one is the depression. You actually, again, you have to be careful with your health, because you don't want to. Me, myself, I went to fast food restaurants. I didn't want to eat healthy, and I knew I was, you know, supposed to have done that and exercise. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to lay in bed. I actually did take time off, and that's very important that you take some time off to career of anesthesia. You have to have peace. And then the last one is accepting. The last one is accepting. You actually, in your mind, I call it in the book a light bulb experience, where you realize that you will see your family member again, and you know they would want you to move on and to move forward, I would say, because I try not to say move on. It's move forward in the process to enjoy life.
Now, you mentioned the stages in order, and, you know, in my own grief process, I remember, you know, Autumn, when I lost Autumn on August the 20th of 2002, you know, I was expecting my grief to come neatly packaged in these little boxes. And, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to go through all of these stages and then I'll be okay. And, for me, it didn't come in like sequential little packages. Yes, I had all those emotions, but I was, and I always felt like, okay, is something wrong with me because I don't, am I grieving properly? I know that sounds kind of crazy to say, but, I think I was expecting grief to look very different than how it looked for me. And I think that, people say this all the time, everyone grieves differently. Everyone goes through the grief process differently. But I don't think that people fully understand it until they go through it, if that makes any sense.
That's very important. I'm very transparent. A month before, a good friend of mine, she lost her sister. And I remember saying, they're in a better place, that cliche we always say. But, when it happened to my brother, I was convicted. I said, Lord, I need to stop saying that because I didn't want to hear that at that time. And so we have to give our family, friends room to grieve how they do. Like you said, I was in one part of the grief of anger one minute. My sister was in depression. My mom and dad, they were on a totally different level because that was their only son and the baby child. So, yes, you have to have that open space and just be supportive. A lot of times you don't really need to say anything because we don't know what to say. But so just being there to make sure they actually are eating properly, that they actually the normal activities of life, meaning, eating, cleaning their, daily cleaning of their self and hair and all the basic things that we do on a normal basis. But the people don't want to hear the word normal because it's not normal because the person is not there. So you have to be careful, and I'm trying to hesitate of saying that word, but what I mean is the normal basic activities that we do in life to be human, eating and sleeping and that thing. You need someone to kind of help monitor you and help you with those things because if not, you'll just, not eat, and that's not good for our health.
And, I'm so glad that you said that because my best friend Sharon and guys, y'all know Sharon and I, she is the Gail to my Oprah. And when Sharon lost her wife in January, Sean was really the glue. Sean was the glue for our friendships. She was the glue in our community. And, it's like I was experiencing almost a double loss because, I'm supporting my friend Sharon who's lost her partner, and I've lost my friend. I've lost Sean was the one that, she could call me and say, okay, you're crazy, and we don't do crazy. And I would listen. It was like I lost my reality check. And, I was trying to figure out, I was like, okay, so what do you say to somebody who's lost their spouse? And I'm listening to all these other people, tell Sharon, oh, well, you just need to do this and you need to do that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't see that. And I remember after the funeral, everybody was at her house. And I'm like, okay, well, guys, she doesn't need 200 of us here now. She needs all of us to do this for the next 6 months or the next 12 months. And I think that's where people get kind of lost sometimes because everybody wants to pile in the moment that it happens, but really the time that people need us the most is going, when the funeral is over, when they're trying to resume those activities. And, I think Lonnie said to me one time, because when Lonnie and I met Lonnie through one of my other Facebook friends, and, every day I would send Lonnie a Facebook message, and I wouldn't say words, I would just send her a hug. I said, no words, just hugs, because I didn't have any words to say to her that was going to make what she was going through okay.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, while y'all are talking, I was thinking of how I was, and I think how I still am, but for me, I didn't want people to call me, to text me. Honestly, I wanted to be left alone. And that's me personally, and I'm different than a lot of people. My my sister, my mom, they want people to talk to them. They want that support. But me, I'm more of, you know, I want to be left alone, and people would call and I felt bad and I wouldn't respond. And then I realized it's okay for me to tell them, like, look, you know, I'm okay, but give me space or give me time. And I think that was the part for me, is that I had to understand it was okay for me to tell them what I needed, because sometimes you don't know if they're going to be upset with you. And I didn't want anyone to be upset with me, because I wanted to say nicely, like, just leave me alone, because I needed my space, or I didn't want to answer questions. Or every time someone saw me, they would say, how are you? Or I'm so sorry. And then it would just everything all over again. I didn't want that. I didn't want to be around anyone. And I just think it's important for people to know it's okay to tell their family members and friends what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you said that, Lonnie, because a lot of times people assume that people want to be supported the way that they want to be supported. It's kind of like speaking a love language. You know, people tend to love in the language that they speak themselves. So, for example, if your love language is words of affirmation, you tend to speak words of affirmation to somebody else. But if their love language is acts of service and you're speaking words of affirmation, you have a communication barrier. So I think that, you know, when someone is in the grieving process, you know, I mean, don't go up to them and say, okay, how do you want me to support you? But, you know, I mean, just kind of take their cues and don't get offended. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of people, especially with me, a lot of people got offended that, you know, I didn't want to talk about Autumn all the time. And, you know, and I had some friends who also had babies at this point, and, you know, they wouldn't invite me to their baby showers because they felt that it was going to be a trigger. And what I wanted to say to them is, I'm going to have to see your kids for the rest of my life. So, you know, I'm going to have triggers the rest of my life. And I think that people just, you know, they need to accept where you are and how you need support rather than how they think they need to support you. And I also want to mention that Dr. Renee has a wonderful blog, because y'all know that I love reading blogs. I'll read a blog before I'll read a book. And I'm just being honest. Because, you know, blogs are easy. They're fun to read. You can read them on the go. They look really good on my new iPhone. And thank you, AT&T, for that. But you mentioned that there were three secrets for coping with a difficult situation in your blog. So can you kind of share those three secrets with us for people who may not be blog readers? But I think after tonight, everyone will be reading your blog.
Well, yes. I just want to, if it's okay, to say a couple things of what you guys have touched on. You know, that's the important thing I think about family, because I'm very, you know, family oriented. And if you don't have someone in your family to, you know, to talk to, you know, reach out to your church, your fam, you know, the neighborhood, someone to talk to, because sometimes the family is wanting you to do one thing, and you just need an outlet for someone else to talk to. So we have to remember it's okay to ask for help. And I know we as humans, we all the time feel that we can't, but that's important to be able to reach out to someone else. But to talk about the blog that I put in, it's amazing that you read it, but I thank you so much for reading it. Because I've been through this, the three things that I found out that was very important in coping with a difficult situation. A lot of times we beat ourselves up and say what we should have done, what we shouldn't have, you know, we beat ourselves up because we made a mistake. But it's okay. I mean, we all make decisions on where we are at that particular time. And so we have to realize, okay, I have made a mistake. Decide that we're going to move forward from that difficult situation. You know, a lot of things come in our life that, you know, unknown, tragic, we have no control of them. Just as one person always tell me, my mom always say, life just happens. But we have to stand straight foot, bold, and say, yes, we're going to move forward. So we have to do that. And then we have to, if it's a person involved, we have to forgive them, because we have to forgive them so we can move forward and have peace that we have forgiven them for whatever they have done to us. But a lot of times we don't remember to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves that we were in that situation, if that was something that we, you know, made a mistake and ended up in. But we have to forgive ourselves that it was what we thought was a failure, but, of course, we did learn from it. So, it's, you know, I don't like to say the word failure. I call them a learned experience. So we have to realize it's okay to forgive and just let it go. Let it go and move forward to something else. And the real thing is our mind. That's what plays tricks on us sometimes. We have to have a positive attitude. We can take it really to the medical literature. You know, if we think positive in our mind, it actually releases different hormones in our brain, and those that goes down to the different organs in our body, and that actually gives us peace. You know, some endorphins actually, you know, helps you with pain if you, you know, if you're in a peaceful state of mind. But at the same token, if you're thinking negative all the time, negative, you're going to eventually have a hardened heart, and you may end up thinking about doing something negative. So we always have to have positive things around us, and as you mentioned, affirmations, I mean, reading a positive book, just something to make you laugh. Because laughing is medicine. It makes you have a lower blood pressure, decrease your stress hormones, and all of that. So those three things are very important to get past or cope with a difficult situation.
Dr. Renee, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned the – sorry, this step is a hard one. You know, to forgive them. In order to move on. And what if you don't think you can do that?
You know, I could, you know, because I talk a lot about myself as an example, because that's the one. You can read a lot of books, but experience as people is very, it really is the teacher, if you will. If you know, let's say, for example, if you know someone has done something, you know, bad to you or something they shouldn't have done, and put it that way. If you say in your heart, you know, you go into meditation, and, you know, meditation can be different forms. I mean, some people, you know, it's on the Word of God. Some is just repeating things over and over, affirmation. It can be, you know, yoga or some type of exercise. You have in your mind that say, hey, I'm going to forgive this person. You know, sometimes they may have passed away already. But you have to have in your heart that you forgive them for whatever they've done. And sometimes it's really bad things or hurting things. But the thing is, if you keep that grudge in you, that's going to be a blocker. That's going to block you from achieving the great things that God has planned for you in your life, the great things that the universe have your name on it. Because eventually, that whatever that is, that's holding you back, that obstacle that they did to you, that's going to get it, as I said, that's going to be negative in your mind. And you're going to hear that every time something comes to you, something like a promotion. Oh, I can't do that because of that. I can't do this. But, yes, you can. If you continue to have positive things to come in, and you're going to have to discard what that is. And you say, hey, I'm going to forgive them. It's not really for them. It's actually for you, that you can release that negative energy so you can actually move forward in life and pursue your purpose in life.
That makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I think for me it's just difficult, and maybe because it's so soon. You know, my sister has only been gone for 2 months. And so for me, I mean, I don't see myself forgiving the man that murdered my sister, but exactly what you said makes sense. It's just really difficult to even think that I could ever imagine forgiving him. But I know exactly what you're saying.
But don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up, because it's a process. It's a process. It's not, some people can, it'll happen right away, or some people it takes longer. Don't beat yourself up or condemn yourself. It is a process. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And Lonnie, you got to remember, like you said, it's only been, I mean, it hasn't even been 90 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for you to even be doing everything that you're doing, I'm in awe of your strength. I am. You know, for you to even be co-hosting this show with me, that's huge.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Annie.
Yes, I commend you because you had the thought of even forgiveness. Most people wouldn't have even had that thought to come in their mind. You know, I'm not making it a funny matter, but I'm just being honest.
Right.
I commend you for your strength to even think about being at that level right now. And I give you kudos for even being able to talk about it, because some people really can't talk about it this quickly, you know, especially in a traumatic, you know, in a shocking type of experience.
Right. I appreciate it.
Well, Dr. Sunday,
it's been hard.
Lonnie, your whole family has just absolutely blown me away with how front and center and transparent you all have been through this. And, you know, you all are grieving publicly, but you're grieving transparently. And I'm blown away with that. So blown away. Guys, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, Dr. Sunday, I want to talk about children and grief, because I did get an email from a mother, and I'm going to share that email with everyone when we come back. So we're going to listen to, I think we can listen to the rest of, no, actually, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give y'all a blast from the past right now. So we'll be back in 2 minutes. That was Bloom Clack with Breathe In, and we are back from our commercial break. So And we're going to head into the last part of our show, and we're going to focus on the children impacted by grief. So I got an email from one of our listeners, and she's one of our very near and dear friends on our Facebook fan page. And her 8-year-old daughter, one of the little girls in her daughter's class, I don't have all the details, but something happened and this little girl lost her life, and it was her daughter's best friend. And her email to me was, you know, Anise, I feel like I'm living my worst nightmare. And, you know, I didn't know what to say to her. So Dr. Sunday, help me. Mm-hmm. Help me help this mother who's got a child, you know, who is in the grief process. How can parents help their children when something like this happens?
Well, it's kind of, I can use my mom, for example, if you're talking in regards, that was her only son. Even though he was 37, you know, that was her baby. And she said the same thing as that young lady said, that this is the worst thing that has ever happened to her in her life. Mom, you know, so it was very hard. And then she also continued to say after that she wished it was her. I didn't understand it until I actually, you know, because like I said, I took off time to be with the family. But I could look in her eyes and my father's eyes. And I actually, in my book, Sunday Grief MD, it's a poem of the hurt and the loss that I actually saw in their eyes. You can't explain it. I mean, I'm not a mother, but it's something my mom said. You can't explain it because, you know, it's supposed to be the other way around. You know, you go before them. But what my mom has, you know, showed me, she's a strong woman, and women, we are very strong. But it took her time to realize, and my cousin said it so perfectly, that my brother had did his mission in life. And I know that's hard for if a child dies, but that child has put a mark on the world or the people in that circle that will make them better than they would ever been. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, it's amazing when people say things, but that's what she said. And then it was a process. I mean, now she can go to the cemetery. Now she can, you know, she can talk about it. Now she really has peace that she knows she will see him again. But we need to always say again, everybody grieves differently. Everybody has a process. One day was fine. The next day my mom actually was crying. You know, I always tell people to take one step at a time, one day at a time. And that's very important. Now, if you're talking about the other realm, if you're, let's say, for example, one child passed and this other kid's still there. Now, we as adults, kids respond totally different. Some kids can actually act out. Some kids can get their personality totally changes. They get real quiet or they actually become more hyper. It's still the same process. They still go through the same process. But what we have to make sure we do is, one, not to lie to them. We cannot lie to the kids. We have to talk to them about death. We have to talk to them about loss. We have to make sure it's on their appropriate level of learning. See, don't mess up and try to. We have several books you can Google online that actually is appropriate for each level that they are. You know, if they're very young, they have pictures. You can actually explain the different process. But the key, and I tell everybody, please do not make up a fairy tale. Do not lie to them. Encourage them to talk about it. But, you know, don't, of course, you know, make them talk about it. In time, they will. And just be supportive and nurture them. The things that we're good as being parents and as, you know, guardian of our kids. Because kids understand more than you think, because my brother kids, I was like, oh, wow, they stronger than I am, because they know they will see their father again. And I'm like, wow, they actually encourage me. So please do not ignore them. That's the most important thing. And give them time to express themselves and let them get back to the things that they like to do, you know, going to school and, you know, like playing and reading. They will do that, but we have to be very supportive of them.
Okay, okay. Lonnie, did you have any questions for Dr. Sunday?
Well, I guess she kind of just touched on it, but my oldest niece is 9, and she's the one who is, you know, in all the petitions. She's the one that started it because, you know, she's the one who tried calling 911 when she heard her dad, you know, killing her mom. And she has no emotion. She's the one who's actually patting our back, saying it's okay. You know, she has not cried. She's not wanted to go. Of course, she didn't want to go to the cemetery. She didn't really want to be at the funeral. But she's not cried. She's had no emotion. And when we're crying, you know, she's patting our back, saying it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And it's just so, I mean, I don't know how to handle it, of course, because I can't imagine it. But I don't know what to say or do because it's so strange because her mother's gone, but it's like nothing has changed for her.
Hmm. And that's okay for that because, you know, again, her kids actually are just much better than we do. You know, depending on what her thoughts of death. And, you know, and she knows she's going to see her mom again, you know. Maybe that's where she is. She has a peace. But, you know, God is so amazing. God always have someone, I mean, the universe always have someone that actually you can lean on, someone that actually can help you in any difficult situation you're in. And a lot of time it is our kids. It's our children. And I, you know, I know people may think I'm, you know, may say something weird, but your pet, because your pet is going to be there. When you come home, they run up to you. They make you feel good. When you're sick, they right there next to you. So that's just the way the universe works. It's always someone. Sometimes when you look out the window, it's a little robin out there. And if you look up, what robins don't land anywhere. It's other particular. They always have peace. And just symbols we have in the world actually helps us to actually say we have a peace inside, and that's what sounds like that's what she's doing. She's your peace, she's your rock, she's your foundation that actually, but be there for her, of course, be there for her when she actually goes up, you know, get older, she, you know, more understanding will be there. So we, you know, of course, the most important thing is, and I know you guys would do that because I know you're, you know, knit family, is long-term just support for her when she wants to act questions, you know, more questions about what happened.
Right. And she's real into, you know, the watching the petition. She is excited about it, and so she's able to talk about the petition part, but of course not anything that happened. So I guess she's doing it in her own way. And
yes.
And you know, that's what's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important. Yes. Because people realize that how important it is to give people support.
And, yeah, it goes back to something that you said earlier in the show, Dr. Sunday, about just meeting people where they are in the grief process. And, you know, that even goes for our children. You know, it's been 11 years since we lost Autumn, and my daughter Allison still grieves her. You know, and every August 20th, we buy, you know, this year we bought 12 balloons, and we release those balloons, and we talk about her, and we remember her. And, you know, and I've let both of the kids know that, you know, it's okay to talk about Autumn because she is a part of our family. She was a part of our family. And, you know, I'm very open, and I was very open even when Allison was 4 when we lost Autumn. So, you know, it was a difficult time for us. And, you know, again, just meeting the kids where they are in the grief process and talking to them in a way that they can understand. And we are almost out of time. This was such a great show. Oh, my gosh. This was a phenomenal show. Guys, I see all of you out there listening in Radio Land, so thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Lonnie, my pocket rocket, thank you for co-hosting the show with me. And
thank you,
you know, none
me.
Of this would... You have just, I mean, you are awesome. I love you. You are just so awesome. And, of course, Dr. Sunday, thank you. And you actually have a book. So tell us, where can we get the book? In addition
yes,
to the blog.
Thank you. Thank you so much, you know, for this opportunity. It's been a blessing to me as well. The name of the book is Sunday Grief MD. And just in a nutshell, the reason is, you know, my last name's Sunday. I'm talking about the grieving process from a medical physician point of view. Of course, it's Christian-based. You can get it at SundayPublishingCompany.com. And I'm sorry, it's a long word, SundayPublishingCompany.com. It's actually on Amazon as well. And you can contact me on Facebook, almost all the social media networks, Facebook. We actually about to launch a series of grief webinars, and actually I'm a passion and purpose specialist as well, because one of the main things that blocks us from our purpose is grief. And grief can be from anything, losing your job, losing your house, of course a loved one passing away, your pet passing away. It can be just from yourself that you won't forgive yourself from prior things that have happened in your childhood, et cetera. So we're actually going to launch those very shortly, and we're going to have teleconferences. The main goal and my whole purpose in life is to help people. I've accepted my call to help people through the grief process so they can actually transform their passions into purpose.
Thank you, Dr. Sunday. Kappa Omega
yes,
Omicron, thank you for paying for all of our airtime. Guys, I don't have to worry about airtime for until 2015. That's right. Kappa Omega Omicron wrote a check to Blog Talk and covered all of our airtime for the entire year. That's a huge weight off my shoulders. So thank you, Kappa Omega Omicron, for the airtime for all of our shows on Back to Us Radio. SMW Creations by Selena for our logo and our graphic design. Selena, you make us look great on print. You make us look phenomenal on the web. We would not have the branding that we do without you. Thank you. L&B Accounting Services, thank you for keeping me out of the IRS jail. Brian, you are awesome. They started out in Atlanta, and Brian now has 7 offices, so please check him out. If you are, have a business and you need business accounting, Brian is the man. He really is. I mean, he took my mess and kept me out of jail, so that's always good. And, you know, I got to give a huge shout-out to our featured artist today, Mitch Russell, for letting us use his covers. Please check him out on YouTube, and he also has an iTunes channel. He's running a special fundraiser right now to support soldiers who are transitioning back home. And his website is Mitch Rossell, RossellL.com. Please buy his song, A Soldier's Memoir, to support our troops. Again, thank you to all of our Back to Us Radio guests, our listeners. Thank you for everything that you all do for us every day and sharing our Facebook page, our links, and everything else. To the entire Back to Us Radio family, thank you all for supporting the Change.org petition. Guys, my goal was to give Carrie's family 500 signatures by her birthday. And, you know, I fell short. I feel like I failed, but I know that I didn't fail. So please continue to keep sharing, because I want those 500 signatures for her family. You know, that wasn't something that they asked for. That was something that I said I wanted to give them. And I think that it would make the world of difference just for them to know that, you know, people do care. And you all have shown that you care. 431,000 times.
You did not fail us. You did not fail us. You have no idea how much we appreciate you at all. You have done so much for us. It's unbelievable. You are an amazing woman. And we are so happy to have you in our lives and supporting us. Honestly, you are the reason why I've been able to be so strong, because you are the person that has helped me, because I couldn't talk to family and friends.
and you are a complete stranger that has helped me through this. You have no idea how amazing you are, and I appreciate everything you've done, so please don't feel that you've failed us. You are so amazing. And my stepdad said to tell you thank you.
Oh my gosh.
He's
thank
sitting right
you,
here,
mommy.
And he said,
thank
tell you,
you
hi.
Hello, Hank. Oh my gosh. Okay, so guys, I am actually going to... I have been indoctrinated into the family. I've been indoctrinated into country music. So I'm going to close our show with one of Lonnie's favorite songs. And it was so funny because when I found this song, I forgot. Tomorrow night, Tico is on. Tico's Corner is on, and Tico is actually going to be co-hosting with KB. And let's see, we've also got yearup.org, which is going to be on February the 21st at 3 p.m. And then on March the 1st, Sharon is going to be making a big announcement. I know what it is, but she's sworn me to secrecy. So even if you bring me Starbucks Grande with extra whipped caramel brulee latte and a slice of banana walnut bread warmed, I won't tell you. Well, maybe I will. But anyway, Sharon will be on the Back to Us show March the 1st. So now this song. When I found this song, I sent Lonnie a text, and I was like, hey, Lonnie, do you know this song, A Man Who Is Going to Die Young, by Eric Church? And she's like, yeah, oh my gosh, I love him. I was like, okay, cool. Well, Mitch has a cover for him, so we're going to use it as our closing song. And she was like, good. So, guys, here is A Man Who Is Going to Die Young. It's a cover by our featured artist of the evening, Mitch Russell, and it's an Eric Church song. So we love you guys. Thank you all for tuning in. Be safe and love up on somebody, in the words of Sean.
What's going on, YouTube? I'm going to play out Eric Church's brand new song. It's called A Man Who Was Going to Die Young. And I'm a huge, huge fan of this song. I think it's awesome. And I hope it's going to be a single. I'm not sure if it is or not. But anyways, here goes.
Like fast cars and sharp dreams, chased a lot of crazy things, left behind my share of broken pieces. This morning I turned 36, you just remember half of it. You wonder how you outlived Hank or Jesus. I put the rage in the river, rolling the thunder, but you kept me from going under. When that current got too heavy, yeah, I always thought I'd be a heap of metal in a cloud of smoke, but stuck to the pedal, sold for parts like a junkyard rusted out Chevy. Fear I've had none. What the hell made you want to love a man who was gonna die young? The mirror, I saw my surprise. Who knew gray hairs like to hide on the head? Didn't think he'd live past 30. If I make it 30 more, it's the brown that you'll be looking for. As you run your fingers through, say slow down, honey. I put the rage in the river, the roll in the thunder, but you kept me from going under. When that current got too heavy, yeah, I always thought I'd be a heap of metal in a cloud of smoke, but stuck to the pedal, sold for parts like a junkyard rusted out Chevy. Fear I've had none. What the hell made you want to love a man who was gonna die? call it crazy. Just thought by now I'd be pushing up daisies, but I'd gladly stick around if we're together. So baby, when you bow your head tonight, could you tell the Lord I've changed my mind? And with you I think I'd like to live forever.
You have been listening to a recording provided by Voice Republic at http://voicerepublic.com.